What's up, everybody? I put a special shirt on today for you guys. You know what your problem is? You're stupid. I zoom up now, but you know, gotta start off with that. Guys, came on here today. I just want to chat with you guys. I want to talk to you guys. I was gonna do a whole big hobby flow chart, right? You know, like whiteboard style and the whole deal. And man, I'm getting some DMs and some text messages that should let you know, hobby friends who have, you know, the old personal cell phone, people selling cards, people feeling a little duped. And it's an interesting thing, right? Because this episode, I'd like for you all to be honest. Be honest, not with me, be honest with yourself as you listen to this. Because I know there are a lot of people out there thinking the exact same thing. All right, hobby flow chart. Is this the hobby for you? Now, there are a lot of people who are like, of course it is. I've been doing this since I was a kid. I never stop. Okay, great. You know, you guys just take the straight line from the top right to the bottom. The answer is yes. Hobby for you. You've never stopped. You've found a way to navigate the space. Whether you're making money in it or not, you know, you buy cards, you open cards, you collect cards, you fill in binders of sets, whatever it is. If that's an easy answer, you've been here this whole time, great. The flow chart is a nice, easy, boom, straight line for you. You take the path less traveled, and that has made all the difference. All right, somebody in the comments, tell me where that's from. But for the other 99.5% of the world, the flow chart. This is the hobby for you. Question number one. I'm doing this off the top of my head, guys. I don't have anything prepared. So this might go a little left. I really should have made the flow chart. Question number one. Did you come back in during COVID, right around COVID? Answer, yes. Okay. What was it that drew you in here? Was it in any way about making money? Was it in any way at all about trying to flip? Was it like the Gary Vee videos about flip life, mug life, buy for this and sell for this? Nothing wrong if it is, okay? Let's just put a pin in that one. Remember, be honest. It's okay if some of it was nostalgia. Right? It's okay, right? We can have the flow chart for a little nostalgia also. It's going to come right back, but a little nostalgia. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you come in during COVID, right? I mean, that's what brought a lot of people back in. You know, we were all looking for something. It was a miserable time. You know, you wanted to have something that drew you back to a time where things were better. But if there's any financial component of it, you got to answer yes here, right? That flip game. And then, I guess as we flow chart it down a little bit, you know, did you find the most enjoyment? Now we're going to split it out. When you came back in, did you find the most enjoyment out of either building sets, buying cards that you had as a kid, or, be honest, did you find the most enjoyment in either buying cards that were going up in value that you were able to sell and repeat, buying cards raw that you were able to grade, get a good grade on, get them back quickly, sell and rinse and repeat, all right? Now, I venture to say that if we're being honest, a lot of people listening to this fall into that category, that the thing you enjoyed about the hobby was that. It was that being able to open cards, grade, sell for more money. Being able to buy cards raw, grade, sell for money. Being able to find a card of someone that you were able to buy early on, that you were able to get before the card prices went up, and being able to sell that card and increase your bankroll and continue to do the same thing. All right. I'm sure we've lost some folks on the way. We're trying to be honest, but I'm sure we've lost some folks who don't fall into that bucket, right? But for the folks who did, and the goal here being you're trying to make money, right? Make money. It's an interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing. If you're in that bucket, I got bad news for you. It's gone. Now, let's just take a second to kind of clear that out. If you came in here and the enjoyment you were getting was from the flip game, from the buy low, sell high, and being able to redo that and churn it and churn it and churn it, this wasn't really a hobby. This was a side hustle for you. And I'm not here to tell you that you can't make money here anymore. That's not the case. But if this is going to be your hobby, one of two things has to happen for you. And this is what I try to tell people who message me or text me, who are feeling sort of, like the space changed on them. It did. Number one, did you enjoy collecting anything? Were you taking any of that money that you were getting in the flip game and building sort of a PC for yourself? Were you buying cards? It could have been PSA 10s. It doesn't really matter. But were you building a set? Were you building a player collection? Were you building up, if you were a David Robinson fan, were you buying some David Robinson cards? Even then, were you buying ones that you thought were going to be, more money? Were you buying ones that you liked when you were a kid, right? And I went through this myself, right? Like, I love Shaq. Did I need a Shaq PMG? No. Do I like the Shaq upper deck that I have now? Sure. Do I want to grab a Beam team for myself? Sure. Do I have to get one in a PSA 10? No, right? So if you're still able to find some enjoyment in that side, okay, you got to morph a little bit. Because if it's really about making money, right, there's still money to be made here. But you got to hustle, you got to grind, or you got to fit into a bucket where the money is going to be made in the future. Now, let me spread that out a little for you. Grind and hustle. If you want to make money here, there is still a flip game, but there's a lot more competition. And the companies that have come in have realized that arbitrage that was there, that you were taking advantage of when it was not known yet. Well, now it's known, right? That's where the repackers came in, right? That's where these folks who are going to shows and scooping everything up and paying high, paying strong, paying stronger, paying stronger. Big signs, scribble, paying 80, 85% of comps. Why? Because they have figured out a way to mass produce a repack and churn. And where you were making that 10, 15, 20% on a card, 30% on an individual card, and redoing it over and over again, they're doing it in mass. And because they're doing it in mass, they're going to the shows and picking up those cards that you're no longer able to buy at that discount because they're getting them all, right? You could do that. You can go to every single show. You can go, hustle like that. You can, you really have to put the work in now to find those bargains, because now those prospects, those rookies that you were able to find back then, not as easy now, because when a rookie card comes out, it's top dollar right off the bat. Chances are you buy it, it's going to wind up going like this, even with good performance. So it's a very interesting and changing and evolving space. But let me make sure I'm clear on this. There is money to be made here. There's money to be made here over the next couple of years for people who are willing to break product, not keep it. Notice when you turn on IG who the happiest people are. Very rarely is it the person who's on the end of the break who's being broken for. It's people who are breaking. It's the people who are yelling and screaming about the card that they hit. It's not often that you see a follow-up from these breakers of the person who got that card. You know what would be interesting is if after a breaker, Mama Breaks, or Backyard Breaks, or Blez Breaks, or Pull Wax, or whoever it is, right? After they bang and they pull a kaboom, if they did a little piece of content with the person who pulled the card, Blez did it with the Nebula Anthony Edwards. That's a pretty safe one. But the person who pulled that $5,000 card, that $1,000 card, I would love it because, if it was honest content, that person would come on and say, I'm real happy I pulled this card that they were yelling and screaming about. But what they didn't show you was that I spent $8,000 this month buying into breaks to get this $2,000 card. And that's why you don't see that. That's why you don't see that side of it. The happiest people out there, the ones making the money, the ones getting the product and breaking the product for someone else, not taking the risk, because that product, it's never going to be a positive. If the breakers bought the product themselves and opened it all up and then tried to sell what they got, they would lose money. They'd go out of business. But somehow, they're finding a way to make money on this. Let's do the math there. If they're buying product and selling it for more and are yelling and screaming and advertising with all of these big hits that they have with the card companies behind them, well, someone's got to not be making money, right? Because if the cards in there overall and the thousands of cases that they open are not going to, the sum total of the value of the cards there are not going to be worth what's being charged for them, then who's losing? The end consumer. So you want to make money? Become a breaker. You want to make money? Break. That is where the money is going to be. LCS? Maybe, if you're the right kind of LCS. But let me tell you, going to be difficult. You're going to have to figure out a way to get rid of a lot of Star Wars crap. You're going to have to figure out a way to get rid of a lot of baseball that just doesn't move. You'd have to figure out a way to get rid of a lot of non-licensed stuff in the next couple of years. Even the LCS, I think it's going to be a tough haul going forward. As much as, you know, hobby people who have stores want to come on and say how great it is and the way it's moving is a great thing, it's not going to be that easy. So, the flow chart. If you're still in that bucket now where it was flip game, flip game, flip game, and making money and you name it, and you weren't able to build up a little PC for yourself that you like doing and that you want to stay in and collect, you weren't able to find a community that you like and enjoyed, you weren't able to, you know, find enjoyment in something other than making money, and you're also not going to become a breaker, the flowchart says this might not be the space for you. Now, I'm no gatekeeper. I love that word. I welcome everybody here. I think there's a hobby for everyone. Wait, you know, people buy Bob Ross paintings and I consider them part of the hobby. Hell, you buy NFTs. But it's okay if you came in and the space is not what you came into and it has evolved in a way that has, I don't want to say passed you by, but you're no longer getting the enjoyment because the way you found enjoyment in this space is not here anymore. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. I get a lot of messages from people who are stressed out. Stressed out over the scam. Stressed out over, hey, I got all these cards. They're all worth so much less. All right, well, do you enjoy the cards? You know, do you care they went down? Of course I care they went down. All right, are you going to sell them and just leave? No, I want to sell them and put it into something else that makes more money in the hobby. Okay. Like what? And the funny thing is that for every post I make about this, for every, you know, post I read, because I don't make a ton of posts about this stuff, where it's like, Andrew made a post last week, right? That got a lot of traction. I reposted it about, you know, how the space is very different and it's impossible to kind of prospect and young players come out and they're, you know, so high priced. How do you buy into a young player? Because that was what we thought we were doing, right? You thought you were basically like you want to talk about, you know, famous hobby songs. You're buying them like you're buying stocks, right? You talk about, like, people thought, all right, I'm going to buy into Tyrese Maxey card. And because he wasn't the top rookie of that year, if he turns into the player I think he's going to turn into, the cards will go up. That's not it, especially not now, right? The price of these cards when they come out, whether it's Paolo Banchero or Cade Cunningham, they're hyped up so much because they have to be the chases. They have to have bounties. They have to have all this stuff to keep the machine spinning, to keep it running. There's only one way for it to go, and it's down. I mean, look, Paolo Banchero's numbers are fantastic. Who's buying his cards? And then the answer I get is, oh, you just have to look in the right space. If you look in the right space, I was buying Anthony Edwards. Okay, listen to me, guys. Anthony Edwards cards went up over the last couple of months. But when those cards came out, they were higher. And I remember going to the National. Everyone was looking for Edwards cards at the National. Everybody paying top dollar. Yes, if you happen to have been lucky enough to buy Edwards cards 6 months ago and held them for that 6 month period here and watched them go up over the last month or so, and you're selling them now, great. You nailed it. You were the one who found it. But chances are, those same people who bought those Edwards, you're not selling them because you're the ones who argued with me when I said to sell. It's a tough space. There are one Brunson, one Edwards now, when there was 50 of them when you came in. And that's okay. That's an evolving space. That's the way it is. It wasn't supposed to be as easy as it was. If you took advantage of it at the time, great. It's going to be harder to do that now. And if that's what you were finding enjoyment, if that's what the allure of the space was, and it wasn't a buying cards that you had when you were a kid, or you know, buying cards that make you happy, or building a collection, it's going to be the same for you going forward. It's going to be difficult. It might not be a space where you find enjoyment. And sometimes I have to tell people this. Sometimes I have to send that message. I'm doing an episode on it because I'm sure the half dozen or so people I've spoken with about this over the last month, they're not the only ones out there thinking this. And it sucks, right? Because if you're listening to this now, it's somebody, you're somebody who listens to my content, and I don't want to lose you as a listener. But that's selfish of me. And it's okay for you to hear this. It's okay for you to decide this isn't the space for you, especially if it's causing you stress and it's causing you, I lost all this money and people are scammers. And, you know, I got one story, you know, this guy, I had somebody who I really relied on in the hobby, and they were just trying to, you know, get me to pay top dollar for a card. And now I'm selling it at a huge loss and I got swept up, and, you know, who do I trust? And, okay. You got to do some soul searching, right? Is the space a space you like? Or the people here you like? Is it a space you enjoy? Can you kind of hit the reset button and maybe, you know, think about what it is you're buying and why you're buying it before you go and plunk that money down? I did this myself. It's, you know, part and parcel with your collection audit. And I've switched in two regards. You know, maybe this will work for you guys as well. Because I'm not a breaker. I mean, maybe I'll retire one day from my 9-to-5 and have time to break cards. I would love to do it. Hell, we broke that Marvel box. It was one of the most fun things I ever did. Andrew had fun doing it too, but I think he was herbally enhanced while we were breaking it. So, but yeah, I mean, it was, I love doing that. I love the product. I love opening it. You know, we used to do it with the UFC stuff all the time in a very different way. But I'm not going to be a breaker now. I don't have the time to dedicate to that. So that's not going to be the space for me. So I decided there are cards that I want. But I'm not going to go hunting for $50,000, $100,000 cards. I'm going to go searching for the best looking copies of those cards in lower grades to have them in my PC. But lower grades that look good. Not beat up copies, you name it. And not spend a ton on them, but still have the card that I want. Have a card that brings me back to, you know, when I was a kid. A card that I couldn't buy when I was a kid. And I've also started expanding into other areas. And you can do the same. I like photos. Some people like memorabilia. Some people are expanding out into music. Now, you could be doing it for the flip. You could be doing it to try to get into something early, right? Graded music or tickets. Be the person who's there early. And maybe that works out for you. Or maybe it's just something you enjoy doing. Maybe it's the fact that you can get into something for a lot cheaper than a Wimby Gold Kaboom that everybody wants for $100,000. But I'm finding enjoyment in kind of the hunt and in the education. You know, going into a new space and kind of having to research what's out there, where to get the stuff, what the difference is. I'm sure I'll make some mistakes along the way, but learning something new is actually part of the fun for me. And yeah, still grading cards, but the cards I'm grading now, for the most part, they fall into two categories. One, cards that we got that Ian and I opened in our boxes on Friday that I'm grading for him so that he can either put in his PC or more likely bring to card shows, sell, and buy more wax with it and rinse and repeat. But the other half, maybe even more than half, I'm grading cards that I want to keep, building up a fun little PC, building some sets, chasing those sets. It's a fun little different switch in your collector side because, you know, some of these cards and these sets and PSA registries, there's not a lot of them. You know, you got the thrill of the hunt, looking on eBay, seeing if, you know, one pops up. What's the grade? Is it one that I need? I've also started collecting different kind of animated cards with my daughter, which is fun as well. Just a different way of doing it. Try to find something else, another path that you can go down and maybe find some enjoyment in it. The flow chart went a little left, like I said it would. It's where I am thinking today. I don't want to be too long, right? It's 20 minutes already. I could do probably 10 episodes today. We could talk about the game-worn cards, the gimmicks. We could talk about, you know, the tops, the guys wearing their cards. There's going to be a lot more gimmicks like that, guys. It's marketing. I don't even want to fault Fanatics or PSA or any of the big companies. They have to do this. They have to keep eyeballs on the space. They have to get new eyeballs on the space. They have to continue to do new things to keep the people who are here engaged and buying and to hope to get more people in. So I expect to see way more things like that. I expect to see a lot more trade nights, a lot more events, buyback type of stuff. The commercial with Piece of the Game is cool. I expect that you'll see more of those also with different releases and different players that they have on their roster. I don't think for me or for a lot of people who listen to this that those type of things really move the needle. I don't think there's anybody listening to this show right now who woke up yesterday, saw the post about Corbin Carroll and Bobby Witt wearing the cards in their uniform when they played a game and said, I have to have one of those. No. But we all talked about it. And that's a win for Fanatics. Because if you're talking about their products, you're talking about their cards, you're talking about their stuff, they're staying in the news cycle. They're staying relevant, and there are people talking about it. You know, someone who doesn't collect cards mentioned it to me at work. Another guy at work was like, did you see this? These guys were like, they had baseball cards. I know you do baseball cards, is what he says. I know you do baseball cards. You have baseball cards in their pockets? Why would they do that? You know, we had to discuss it. That's somebody who's now looking at the space who wasn't looking at the space, and that is a win for Fanatics. That's all I think of when I see stuff like that, the gimmicks, and I think you should expect more of those. The kabooms, I put a little story up today, a little post, a little reel. Go check it out. A centered kaboom was located, but it was a digital one. I mean, come on. Like, you can't make this up. Like, everybody's wondering, well, you know, are all of the kabooms off-centered? Did they make them off-centered like that? That way, if it's off-centered, you know, were they supposed to be kind of shifted to the right? And then we can still grade it a 10. No, the digital versions are always going to be centered. It's always going to be what they're supposed to be. And they put an Edwards digital version up today. Go check out my page. And it is dead centered, guys. Those lines on the top and bottom are dead centered. You can see that exclamation point. So Panini pumping out that digital. I was a big fan. Yours truly spent six figures on Panini Digital. Oh, yeah, you heard that right. I'm not buying those packs. Nope. They got enough of my money. Because what you're seeing there is, again, the same churn. The same churn. They haven't really built their platform up. They haven't really done such great stuff with their platform, but they just keep pumping out the packs. They just keep printing, and people are buying them. It's the same thing in all the spaces. Printing presses keep on churning, boom and bang, and the breakers are breaking. Anyway, it's a fun stuff. I got to go because it's 25 minutes, and I don't want to, you know, you guys to have to suffer with my ridiculousness longer than that. I can talk about 20 things. Maybe I'll do a live. Guys, find your fun in the hobby. This is fun for me. I love chatting with you guys. I love the DMs. Keep them coming. Even if you have questions about what I talked about today. Even if you're feeling some kind of way about the space, let's talk. I'm not going to chase you out of the hobby. More often than not, we'll find something that you do enjoy here. Maybe I have a card that'll help you get on your way towards building that PC set or that, you know, that little collection you're building. That'll be the fun thing for 2024 that you try to build that keeps you in and keeps you happy. Talk to you guys soon. Take care, everybody.